Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comics Dungeon. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Chris Casso.
Hello.
Nicole Lamb.
Hello.
And, of course, Mr. Cole Hornaday.
I cannot feel my nose.
Happy New Year, everybody. Is it cold? Is that why? It's a cold and rainy day
here. It's a spreading insensitivity. It's almost like some giant anemone stung me, and then it went numb, and the numbness is spreading across my face and into my brain. And I'm totally making all this up right now. You know that.
I was going to say,
Should you put something in my water? Because I feel like I'm on something. I don't know what's happening right now.
No, we're all fine here.
We're all fine.
How are you?
Fine. I'm good.
We all float down here.
By the time you are listening to this, the big sales at Corner Comics and Comic Extension have ended. The big year-end sales. There's little yellow tags all over the store. How did that go for y'all?
Started really well for us. We're kind of in like a slower period. Oh, not so much for you over there. Sorry.
No. Yeah.
So you're still going strong? Comics and buy stuff.
Go to the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was okay for us, but I think a lot of that is just because there wasn't enough new material the first week. Plus, I put certain things that I almost regret putting out for sale.
It's been a weird time because Skip Week is still a thing where you get, you know, 8 titles released Christmas week. And the thing that happened was every single thing that they wanted to get out before year's end came out the week before.
That was a crazy.
And it was crazy. And then there was nothing. And there was nothing really to draw people. And I think because then we had this week that we're recording at right now in the past. That is also kind of meh. Not skip week meh, but just meh enough.
I think we have more customers that were trapped in the city on this side.
Probably.
Whereas you probably have more people that went out or just stayed in.
I have a lot of people who work jobs that they get like 2 or 3 weeks off at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that they feel drawn to come in.
Right.
So, ow.
Yeah.
Must be nice having one of those jobs where you're paid to not work for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I don't feel any resentment about that. I'm happy for you all.
Anyway.
Happy.
So this is, the first episode of the year, year 2020. We were having a discussion of whether or not this was the start of the decade or if 2021 is the official start of the decade.
Well, if you know how to do math, which I don't, then yeah. But yeah, 2021 is the start of the new decade.
I call BS on that. I mean, decades
are doesn't really matter. It's the start of our cyberpunk future, and that's what really matters.
There you go.
And we're just all set for disappointment, aren't we? No rocket packs, no hover cars.
But maybe cybernetics, which is really like the key.
Yeah.
And the corporate wars, which is also the streaming wars, which is also the wars.
Yeah. Right.
The endless wars. So we're good.
But what about the cola wars?
You know what the cola wars boiled down to?
What?
Coke and Pepsi spent billions of dollars on advertising. And what does it come down to? You're in a restaurant and you're like, can I have a Coke? Is Pepsi okay? Yeah, it's all right.
It's fine. And scene. You're absolutely right.
Anyway, speaking of...
ears were hearing koala war almost. And it was just like, what?
There was a eucalyptus drought.
Well, we're looking at that. We're looking at that right
war
now.
War never changes. Yeah. Just koala war.
Oh, anyway, let's move on. Marvel is announcing a title in the ongoing, which will be joining the Dawn of X line. Is it Dawn of X or Dawn of 10?
Dawn of X.
Dawn of X, which is Hellions. It'll be written by Zeb Wells, art by Steven Segovia. Do you think this will ride the wave of the popularity of Hickman's relaunch of the X-Men?
It'll be the smallest crest of the wave.
You mean with Hellions or just...
With Hellions.
Okay.
We're beginning to see the scale back over
here. This is the third wave of solicitations in the Dawn of X, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and Hellions are tertiary characters from New Mutants, right? Because they were the Hellfire Club's...
Yeah.
Answered the New Mutants.
Yeah, they, this is basically the Mr. Sinister book. So that might be the plus side.
Okay, all right.
Because he's kind of like the fabulous star that came out of House and Powers.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the Alex Summers Havoc, meaning they'll be boring. Just boring, sorry. If people complain about Scott, they need to complain more about Alex.
And we have, Alex is
Oh boy.
This is not Cable. This is, or this is Baby Cable.
No, no. Alex is Havoc.
Oh, of course.
The most boring of the Summerses.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he tries. He tries.
Too much. Too much. Yeah. He needs to give up.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm dialed in now. I'm sorry.
This is
okay,
also the team that has Orphan Maker and Granny.
Oh my goodness! They brought those characters back.
They're doing. They're everybody's back. You know, it's just kind of like okay, fine, whatever. Maybe if like 80% of the comic is Mr. Sinister just being like
a regal villain,
the best like drag queen ever,
right?
Then that's like, damn, yeah, we're good.
Well, they were doing some incredibly silly things with him in the Bendis X-Men series, the All New, All Different.
Maybe Bendis touched him, but I know that
Who did all the silly stories with him?
Well,
he's got this
Wicked and Divine.
Kieran Gillen.
Kieran was the one that gave him Bar Sinister, and gave him like the army of sinisters,
exactly,
and had fun. Yeah. And that's what Hickman is channeling,
okay.
And it's just like more of that, just all the more that. So. Yeah, I mean, Hellions can be fun. Zeb Wells has a sense of humor. It's just that, like, this will make for the 7th or 8th X-Men title, and there's still a couple more on the horizon with Moira and something else. There's going to be giant-sized X-Men.
There's Wolverine.
But, you know, sometimes he could say it's not part of it, but it's like, it's part of it. So just
because when they're crossovers,
Wolverine's
gonna be roped into that.
So you know, I'm hoping it won't suck.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel that the upcoming X-Men titles have legs outside of Hickman's involvement?
Marauders does, New Mutants does, Fallen Angels is slowing down hard for us. What am I forgetting? X-Force is doing all right. Excalibur is the one that everybody complains about, but I think it's one I actually enjoy almost the most now, next to Marauders. Mostly just still because Apocalypse is a wizard, Harry. And and also there's like a baby dragon and all this other stuff. And they're like dealing with the politics of like Captain Britain is a mutant. And that, how do the British feel about that? And the Queen's like bringing her in. And it's like, this is actually entertaining. They brought back Pete Wisdom. It's like, that's a character I kind of like. So it's like that book, even though everybody seems to be down on it, it's just like, nah. It gives me Apocalypse fan fiction. I'm down with it.
Cool.
Well, back in the 80s, the X-Men were competing with DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths. And there's a bunch of TV shows out. I guess they're called the Arrowverse, because maybe Arrow was the first one out. And they have their own Crisis on Infinite Earths storyline. Well, guess what? The TV show based on the comic is going to have its own comic based on the TV show. Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant is going to hit the shelves, which will expand on the stories that DC are creating with Arrow and all of the other shows within the Arrowverse: Supergirl, Batwoman, The Flash, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody watch these shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a pretty big fan base. Scott's really
even been excited about it.
Anybody here at the table?
No.
Nope.
No.
That's actually what I was asking for.
The first two episodes of the Batwoman series and thought it was interesting, and surprised how much it did seem to adhere to the comic. You know, the contemporary comic.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first two seasons of Arrow and Flash. And I thought they were fine, but I lost momentum. I saw the pilot for Supergirl, but I've not been very, you know, they're just not for me.
There's CW is a different style.
There's aspects of them that don't appeal to me because they're about pretty young people, and I'm just not into that anymore.
You're not a pretty young person?
I am definitely not a pretty young
person. They're pretty young and boring.
Yeah.
And they also have very, very soap opera angled relationships and issues and problems. And I'm like, that's not going to work.
I'm in a love triangle with this person and this supervillain.
Just try out already. Forget about it.
Thruple.
Thruple. I don't even know what I was going to say. It doesn't matter. It sucks.
You said boring. Yeah.
Yeah, it's boring.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it was like SDCC like a couple years ago is like a new Arrow thing's coming out and like Deathstroke's gonna be doing a thing, and it seriously was like Days of Our Lives, but like he was wearing a Deathstroke. Did I say, I don't know what I said.
Yeah, Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. There's too many deaths.
Yeah, it's a lot of deaths.
too much stroke? I don't know.
that's a lot of stroking happening.
It was just weird. And then, hi, I'm here.
Yeah,
I don't watch superhero shows anyway.
Okay, so,
So I watched a bunch of Flash and I did like it. Mm-hmm. And they had Gorilla Grodd, so it wins automatically. Right. I just never, because I'm always behind in everything, I was like, this is fine. I don't have to touch it anymore. Arrow is void. Like, the main character is a robot and not a good robot. Mm. And, like, Steve Amella, whatever. And it's just like, he's the most boring thing ever. And he got how many seasons out of him? And it's just ripping off Batman. So it's like, I kind of want to care, but I don't know, man. Boring.
So this Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant, that's what they're calling it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be written by Marv Wolfman. Mm-hmm. And co-written by Mark Guggenheim, which is the showrunner, I'm assuming, or the executive producer for the Arrowverse. It's going to hit Walmarts first. The first issue is already out at Walmart and comic book stores in January and in February.
Yeah. I think it'll do something, you know. It might also even connect a little bit into what DC's doing after post-Doomsday Clock. So we'll see.
Oh,
they said there's Earth 1985 now, and it's like, well, there you go. That's right there. Mm. So we'll see. I think I saw a picture of the Anti-Monitor, and I'm like, that's not terrible, but you don't look like a big evil marshmallow man, and that makes me sad because that's what an Anti-Monitor should look like. Like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man survived the end of the fight, but he's all scarred, horribly burned.
But his flesh is also squeezing through the gaps in his body armor.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. He's got pruny jaws.
He's the hardest villain to describe to somebody who's not in the comics and be like, but he's cool. Look at him. It's just like.
But George Perez. Wasn't George Perez who drew him originally?
Yeah. It works because of that.
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah.
It has the Perez touch.
One of the things that I always kind of say with a grain of salt when we talk about how we've hit peak superhero in pop culture is that the next genre to make a big splash is going to be the revival of Westerns. Mm-hmm. I don't really mean that. I don't think that, but I just like saying it.
I do and I do.
Well, there you go, Cole. Well, Image has announced that a new Western theme title from Ed Brubaker and John Phillips is called Pulp, coming out sometime in the 2020s. Takes place during the 1930s and follows Max Winters, a pulp magazine writer specializing in Westerns, who finds himself hunted by, quote, bank robbers, Nazi spies, and enemies from his past.
So it's not actually a Western. It's about a guy who likes to make Westerns.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it incorporates pulp into...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But the cover is a white grizzled cowboy on his horse.
Cool.
So
I'm still in support of the genre theory, the genre of evolution theory. So
complete tangent aside from the comic book part of this.
Remember at the table, because, who's sitting with you at this table?
But because y'all into the Western stuff, there was a movie that came out, I think, in 2016 that I've got queued up on Amazon Prime called Bone Tomahawk.
Seen it?
Yeah, did you recommend it?
It's grisly.
I've heard. I like that.
Oh, yes. You haven't seen it?
I want to. I was just asking if you recommend it.
I was surprised. It's a horror story.
That's what I heard.
It's a horror western.
Cannibals.
Cannibals.
Yes.
And they're primitive peoples.
Yes.
And they abduct women from wagon trains. And
what's it called? I want to watch this.
Bone Tomahawk. It's on Amazon Prime.
It was I found it on a listicle. What's the matter, Nicole?
I'm just really enjoying this. Where you're like, it's brutal. And he's like, yes, I know. Yes, this is great. And you're like, terrible. And he's like, yes, I know. Yes, more.
Yes.
I'm already sold.
You know, and Kurt Russell and company go to rescue these folks.
Yeah.
And
I heard it's one of his best things that he's done in this part of his career.
I would think so. Okay. But I found it on a listicle of little known, obscure movies.
Nobody really talked about it when it came out.
Yeah. And I can't tell you why, other than it mixes genres.
Right.
And it is really gory and violent.
Now we'll come back to our Bone Tomahawk podcast after
this. But that may be where we go with Westerns and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Where you're blending genres.
Merging genres. Yeah. I think that might have to be just less of aliens and cowboys.
Right. Yeah.
None of that. I don't want that.
Well, watch Bone Tomahawk and let me know what you think.
I almost watched, is it Cowboys and Aliens recently? Like Tommy Lee Jones and
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's a bunch of like, oh, I like these actors. Maybe I want to watch this, you know? Cole's shaking his head. Bone Tomahawk is great, but Cowboys and Aliens,
It's based on a comic book, wasn't it? On a graphic novel?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Both of which, the graphic novel, which was something obscure.
And it wasn't good.
And it's the movie is just as mediocre at accomplishing.
Because it's got a James Bond in it. Current James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, it's got all these great people in it. The premise should have been fun, but it was just so... Man. You want to talk about pulp. So predictable, so boring.
Yeah. And it's almost 3 hours long, too, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
I ended up watching The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling on HBO, which is highly recommended. Anyway, going back to Western comics, are there any current Western-ish titles?
East of West?
Yeah.
Western.
Speaking of Hickman.
Tinge to it, but it's far future apocalypticism. Yeah.
And it's over. Firefly is out, and that's still, you know, basically Western sci-fi.
It's cowboys in space.
Yeah, yeah.
But cowboys Western and aliens.
Yes.
But as far as traditional Western, not anything.
Yeah, we're talking like Lonesome Dove, Call of the Wild kind of.
Besides reprints, there's not even the Jonah Hex right now. It's just kind of weird there's not a Jonah Hex right now, but yeah.
Tim Truman used to do great Western stories. He updated Lone Ranger and Tonto, and then he did those Jonah Hex, H.P. Lovecraft mashups. Mm-hmm. But I loved his Scout stories about post-apocalyptic American West with the Scout and Scout War Shaman about a Native American hero. And he kickstarted a new book, and it didn't happen, and I want my money back.
Oh, yeah. That's no good.
That's not,
that's
Tim.
A danger with
Tim?
Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Tim,
I want my book.
Tim. All right, so Tim, if you're listening, Cole either wants his money back or his book.
I would prefer the book, but I think that's what a lot of fans usually feel in circumstances like this. Like, no, I'm being crabby, but I want the book.
Okay, so finally today, a number of weeks ago, this came out as big news. Like, everybody was reporting it, but I thought it was already settled that Wonder Woman and The Flash are going back to legacy numbering. But I thought they decided that when they decided to call it, Wonder Woman number 750. But they're apparently going forward, we're going to have a 751 and a 752.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wait. So, it's a separate article where they just realized that was happening, or?
Well, it's a separate article where I realized it was happening. Maybe, gotcha. But it was like after.
There was a press release that said we're going back to legacy numbering.
Yeah. But this was after Wonder Woman number 750. Was announced.
Maybe it's because DC thought that was automatically thought, and they're like, no, we have to actually say this, that we're going back.
Oh, shit.
That's a question for me. Is there a Marvel Comics number 1001?
Yes.
1002?
There is. Just 1001.
Yeah, just 1001.
Really? Is there going to be a...
No, yeah, they were just doing that as a special special bit. Excuse me, as I cough into the microphone.
It's that time of the year.
They basically just did 1,000, and then they had leftover bits, and they're like, we could charge for these, can't we?
We got enough for 1,001.
Yeah.
All right. So, Wonder Woman number 750. And The Flash number 750. And those will they'll stay going forward. All right, let's move on to Book Report, everybody. And I guess, Chris, let's start with you.
I'll do that. last man standing. Do you want to pause or should I?
No, just go.
Go, okay. I read a manga, surprise, called Drifting Dragons. And it is by Taku Kawabara. And it is an odd one. And I have mixed feelings in some aspects. I do really love the art. I like the style of it all. And it's basically following this fantasy world where people get onto... They're like whaling barges, but they fly, and they're hunting down dragons as if they're whales. And a single dragon can produce like so much food, oil, the bones, everything is, they're like fortunes, they're treasures. So the main character is a guy named Mika, and he's obsessed with hunting dragons because he loves to eat. And so this is also a cooking book, because between each chapter, they talk about like different ways to prepare the dragon and like different kind of bits and pieces. So of course it is.
Of course.
I didn't know that when I ordered it. It found me.
Oh.
Yeah, there's dragon tail sandwich and da-da-da-da.
You attract the manga in your life.
I do, yeah.
Forget Westerns. Cooking comics are the next big genre.
They are. We've been there for a bit now, but the part of me that feels a little off about it is because it's very much comparing it to whaling and giving it like that kind of light of like, this is the lifestyle. And there's a part of me that kind of hates the idea of whaling, kind of does hate the idea of whaling. So there's a part of me that's like, I don't know if I like the fact that you're making this that. There's a couple sequences too where you're like, oh, how sentient are these dragons? Mm-hmm. And are they thinking or are they not? Mm-hmm. But there's some really good characterization. You're focusing on different members of the crew. There's a cook. There's a new greenhorn who's learning like the ropes. There's a chapter where they're being attacked by sky pirates. And a bunch of just like fun ideas. So I like the world and I like the way it's put together. And apparently it's a Netflix original anime, which the Netflix algorithm sucks, because I am always trying to find out what's new on Netflix, and that system just terrible.
Yes.
Because it keeps showing things that have been on there forever. And it's just like, okay, first you failed in finding me manga, and you failed in finding me a cooking manga with dragons. And so now I'm going to have to look for it. Because, yeah, experience the adventure that inspired the new Netflix original anime. Unless it's like Netflix Japan. And
probably.
Because they got stuff
maybe
ahead of time,
yeah.
Or Netflix China, and you know.
Hmm.
So I'll have to look for it. But yeah, so I enjoyed Drifting Dragons Volume 1 from Kodansha. $12.99, normal price, normal size. It's good.
Yeah, cool.
Did you mention the creator, what else they did already?
I couldn't find that information.
Oh,
I didn't
okay.
notice that information.
I thought they did something else. But.
I could come back to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while Chris, you looked it up, Nicole, why don't you tell us what you've been reading lately?
I guess I'll talk about my manga that I read. I tried to space it out, so it's not manga all the time. But 2020, a sort of New Year's resolution is that I'm going to read comics again. and I'm going to do it for me.
There you go.
Yeah. So a creator that I really like... Shuzo Oshimi, he did Flowers of Evil and Happiness. Flowers of Evil was this really weird taboo coming of age tale that had like BDSM in it. Of course it did. And it was really weird, ended weird, but I still really liked the creator. So I read Happiness, which was a coming of age vampire tale that was also like really weird and kind of taboo. And so this one, Inside Mari, is about, it's kind of like a Freaky Friday, but you don't know what happened to the other person who Freaky Friday'd. Like they just disappeared. Like you just wake up in their body and you're like, well, where are they? Mm-hmm. And you have to live through their life. And you don't know how to do that because you don't know this person. And a lot of the thematic stuff that this creator does, besides playing with like kind of taboo subject material or taboo relationships, is that he also deals with being an outsider, being lonely, being kind of a loser. A lot of times the characters don't have friends, you know, and are meeting up with other people who are similar or something like that. So I do like those aspects. And this focuses on a character who's a college dropout. He's lying to his parents that he's still in school, but he's just been playing video games and going to the convenience store, you know, every single day for like 3 years. And he sees this cute high school girl at the convenience store pretty regularly, and he just decides that he's just gonna like follow her, and he does that very regularly, and he doesn't think that she notices until one night she turns around, looks at him, and then the next morning he wakes up and he is her, and he's freaking out because he's like, oh, I have boobs. Oh, I have all this body. Oh my god, I'm that girl. And I thought that where it would go would be this taboo thing of like, well, now I get to kind of like play out this fantasy I've had with this girl. But instead he's like, I have not gotten consent. I must do everything blindfolded.
It's
like
very
he takes
noble.
showers and dresses and all that kind of stuff like that. So I was like, oh, okay. So you're not going to be a weirdo. That's cool. Yeah. And then he also realizes this aspect of like, men are constantly looking at me. Is this, oh, and I know it. And they're jerks and stuff like that. And then he's just like, oh, so she probably knew that I was watching her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, so he's having these insights. And at the same time, he's got to like go to school and deal with the friends. And the friends are like, oh my God, this clip is so cute. And he's just like, I don't know how to do any of this. What is happening? And he gets confronted by like somebody who knows her. And it's just like, you are not Mari. And so he kind of has this person who doesn't trust him and doesn't know what's happening, but also may be able to help him to try to find Mari. Because like, he even goes back to his apartment and like the guy who was him doesn't seem to recognize Mari, nothing. So they don't know what happened. And I really didn't know that this was going to jive with me. It's been in my pile for a very long time. I bought it from Dungeon because I was like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to buy this one. And it's like, I don't know, five volumes deep. And now I'm hooked because apparently I just like this creator. And he's coming out with another weird one about a mother and son. And it's probably going to be really weird. And I'm going to buy that too.
There you go.
Yep. So I would recommend Inside Mari, even if this kind of genre isn't your jam, because it does become this interesting mystery. And it is done respectfully too, and not in a weird Japanese creepy way, but in it, and like, and even the he has a little story in the back where he's talking about how he feels like he's missing out in life, not being able to be a woman, not like he's transgender, but like he only has the perspective of being a man. He doesn't know what it's like to be a woman, and he's so curious about that, which is what prompted him to make this book. Of just like, they're like half the population and I just don't know what that's like. And it's so crazy. So it's interesting. I'm definitely going to probably buy the rest of your volumes because you probably don't need it on your shelves anyway. So there you go.
Cool. All right. Inside Mari. Thank you, Nicole. Chris, did you figure out what else Toku Kuwahara has done?
I could not find any information.
Oh, okay.
But there is confirmation of the anime. But I will say, I forgot to mention that between each chapter, there's recipes, and for Sky Pirate-style dragon pastrami, I forgot that that was a recipe that one of the Sky Pirates had. Like, one of the main characters stole it from him. He's like, this is really good. And he's like, yeah, it's a family recipe. So on the page of the recipe, the Sky Pirate's like, my family recipe! So, yes.
Right on. All right, cool. And finally, Cole Hornaday, what do you got for us?
I think we need to stop and acknowledge that we hit a milestone here this evening, and that 250-plus shows, and no one has ever spilled a drink until now.
No, you spilled water a couple years ago.
Yeah, you absolutely did.
Why is it always me, people? Why is it always me?
You need to question that yourself. We can't answer that.
I love how they both immediately remembered it was you.
Well, I was not going to give you a hard time about it, but you brought it up.
Mm-hmm. Here, I thought it was going to be a big deal, but with my terrible memory. Anyway, let's move on to book report. Cole, what do you have for us? Oh, well, thanks, Ben. Now, I don't recall, did we ever talk about, beyond having Craig Hurd McKinney on the show to talk about his book, Some Strange Disturbances, has anybody ever, I don't recall, has anybody reviewed it?
Nope, I spoiled it while we were talking to him.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine. I got to tell you, I wish I'd read this earlier in 2019, because this would have been one of my top books of the year, perhaps even the decade, because as I may have mentioned, we had Craig on the show, I got all giddy about just reading part of the PDF, and I was like, nope, I want to read the whole thing and have it in my hands, and I was not disappointed. In fact, I was incredibly excited. So Some Strange Disturbances, this is the first volume. It's written by Craig Hurd McKinney and art by Gervasio and Carlos Anon, cover by Tyler Smith Owings, and layout and digital design by Keely McCarthy. This is a sweet little package for people who love history and who love fiction and have a sturdy background in history and fiction built around historical events. So our protagonist in the story is Quentin Mayfair, who is a spiritualist and medium in the late 1800s London, England. But I do believe he's an American-born person who he was born in Baltimore. But he's the genuine article. He's not a fake. We established in the opening beat that he inherited his supernatural abilities, his ability to see supernatural beings from his mother, who was insane. And there are several different plot threads happening in this volume. You know, one that he's supposed to be, he's been sent to an asylum to rid this this person of the gentry of their demons, when that's not in fact what's happening to them. He also meets a woman who a black woman who sings with a traveling choir group. So he befriends all these othered and peripheral character not peripheral but othered and marginalized people in London in the 1800s, and it's all set during the backdrop of the trial of Oscar Wilde for indecency, and I can't remember what phrases they were using, just because they were trying to jail the man because he was gay. It's there are bits that I just love. It's like there are parts throughout that are original illustrations from the London Police News, which is stuff that I'm well familiar with from the Fortean Times, because they're always reprinting stuff in that. The back of the book has an afterword that covers a lot of the historical backdrop that's mentioned. I just thought this was marvelous, and honestly, I don't want to give too much of it away, because
job. Yeah, it's all right. Chris already spoiled it.
Well, and I know that when Craig was on the show, he's like, "Well, I don't want to give this away," and I'm kind of glad he did. So I'm gonna carry that on. Honestly, Chris, I don't remember you giving anything away. Right. So, I cannot wait for the next volume, the fourth coming. So the series is called Some Strange Disturbances, and the next volume in the series will be Some Strange Disturbances: The Lunchroom Under the Arch, and it can't get here soon enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to our interview with Craig Hurd McKinney, it's on episode 254, just a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. Well, thank you, Cole. Some Strange Disturbances. That is Book Apart, and that is our show. Coming up is quiz time. But before we go, I want to tell you that the Perfect Bound podcast is brought to you by The Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com, as well as Comic Extension here at 319 Northeast 45th Street in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsengine.com. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or however you get your podcasts at perfectboundpodcast.com. Send us an email, perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. And now, friends, get your quiz hats on. It's quiz time. This week, our questions come to us from Mr. Chris Casso. Lay it on us, Chris.
This one is your choice to talk about the crisis sent me into a spiraling search for talking about similar instances. It's called The Thing That Became a Thing Based on the Thing That the Thing Was Based on.
Nice.
Thing. So first, released in 2014, this comic book adaptation of a prequel story by Telltale Games was an adaptation of a video game adaptation of a flagship Vertigo title. What is the name of the specific story?
Wolf Among Us?
Yes.
Wow,
Fables,
nice.
Wolf Among Us.
That's right.
Yeah. To coincide with the release of this Disney movie in 1991, writer Peter David and comic book legend Russ Heath did the comic book adaptation of the movie that was an adaptation of what 80s pulp-style comic hero?
Tarzan?
The Rocketeer?
Rocketeer. Complete side note, because there's a new Rocketeer cartoon on Disney Plus featuring a 7-year-old girl. I just found out that Frank Welker is the voice of that girl's grandfather, so that means Megatron is the Rocketeer's grandpa.
Is also Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Nice.
Next, while the original arcade game was released in 1991, this particular Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle video game title would be the basis of this particular IDW Turtle miniseries published in 2014 that features fantastic artwork by Sophie Campbell and also introduces a cute little dinosaur that the Turtles named Pepperoni.
Pepperoni! Turtles in Time?
Turtles in Time.
It's a good one.
It's nice. A good one.
They named their pet after their favorite food?
Yeah, of a condiment of one of their favorite foods. Yeah.
All right.
Released in 2004, this particular collection of autobiographical stories documents a whirlwind of a year defined by the creation of an autobiographical movie adaptation of the autobiographical work of underground comic creator Harvey Pekar. What is the name of this volume of work?
American Splendor.
American Splendor.
Subtitle. Because it's a particular one.
Oh, well, I don't know it.
Our cancer year?
Our movie year.
Our movie year.
Yeah, so it's a comic based on the movie, based on the comic,
yes,
that was the movie.
Gotcha.
final one. This one takes a minute. Sorry.
They're already so complicated.
Oh, wait till you get this one.
I'm looking at the copy from the flip side of the page.
Yeah,
we may be here for a while.
Yeah.
Running for one season in 2008, this American TV series was based on a comic published by Viper Comics by Javier Grillo-Marxwatch, who also worked on Dark Crystal, and Les McLean. Originally confirmed for an initial 13 episodes, the order was reduced to a 12-episode season due to low ratings. In February of 2009, a comic book based on the unproduced 13th episode was announced, confirming the series' cancellation. Billed as the series finale, this volume, called The Doomsday Armageddon Apocalypse, was released in July 2009. While the episode was never filmed, the show's cast have performed a live reading of the episode during 2009 San Diego Comic-Con. Then, in 2014, they successfully crowdfunded the story of the Pan-Universal Parental Reconciliation, which is Volume 5 of the comic, but Episode 14 of the show, where the comic characters met the TV versions of themselves in another reality. They also did a live cast reunion table read of the script of the Pan-Universal Parental Reconciliation, uniting the actors of the TV series to meet with the comic characters voiced by different actors. What the hell is the name of the show?
Was it Firefly?
No.
Is it Middleman?
Middleman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite shows in comics.
And you know what? I can't find it anymore.
No.
I got it on DVD years ago when you recommended it. I only watched the first couple episodes on like one disc, and now I can't find it.
Okay, I'll lend you mine at some point.
All right.
I got to find it, but yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Wow.
Good
was
job,
that,
man.
That was the thing that was the thing. That was the thing, the thing.
And that's thing, the thing.
That's the thing that when you put it on, I was like, I have to do this thing on this thing. And it took me forever.
And you did the thing. Well, that was great. Thank you, Chris. And thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.